الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. صدق الله العظيم. In this kitab of sunnat and the importance and value of sunnat, further we read maalish or maahireen, what the experts have got to say about making maalish, massaging. What the experts, what their view is about massaging. Jism ki maalish se taqat aur quwwat barhti hai. This is a quotation that by massaging the body, the strength of the body increases. یہ ایک ایسا کھلا ہوا راز ہے جو ہمارے ملک کے جہلا کو بھی معلوم ہے. He says this is such a secret that even the ignorant, the ordinary people, they also know the secret that by massaging, the strength of the body increases. کشتی لڑنے والے پہلوانوں کا گھنٹوں اپنے بدن پر تیل ملوانا, that the people were restless before they go into a bout of wrestling. For hours and hours they have their body massaged so that they acquire more strength. اور گھر کی بری بوریوں کا تاکید کر کے ننے بچوں کے بدن پر میدا اور گھی یا صرف تیل کی مالش کرانا اس بات کا ثبوت ہے. And the old ladies would stress the small little babies that they must be massaged with ghee or with oil on their stomach. This is such a known fact that everyone, all the old ladies also know, and they stress this, that the little baby must be massaged with ghee or with oil on its stomach. کہ عوام مالش کے فائدوں سے اچھی طرح واقف ہے. That the general public are fully aware also of the great benefits of massage. بچوں کے کمزور سینے مالش سے بہت جلد طاقتور ہو جاتے ہیں. When a child is born, its whole body is quite weak, and the chest especially. And by massaging the chest, it becomes strong very quickly. It gains its full strength very quickly. کمزور بچوں کے لیے مالش ایک نعمت ہے. Children that are weak, massaging is a great نعمت for those children. جن بچوں کا سینہ کمزور ہو, ان کے سینوں کی مالش روزانہ کی جائے. Those children whose chests are weak, and commonly children have a wheezing problem, that's a weak chest. By massaging the chest, then it gains strength very quickly. مالش ہاتھ کے ہتھیلیوں سے آہستہ آہستہ کی جاوے. The massaging should be done with the palms of the hand and very lightly. Very lightly the massage should be done. اور بچے کے سینے پر زیادہ بوجھ نہ دیا جاوے. And especially when massaging the chest, then you must not put lot of weight and lot of pressure, but very lightly that massage should be done. کمزور بچوں کے لیے مچھلی کا تیل. For children who are weak children, physically weak, a fish oil یا روغن زیتون کے مالش بہت مفید ہے. Fish oil or the oil of olives, this is very very beneficial for them. مالش سے خشکی دور ہوتی ہے. By massaging, the dryness in the body is removed. جسم مضبوط اور خوبصورت ہوتا ہے. The body becomes strong and beautiful as well. سر میں تیل کی مالش سے بال بڑھتے ہیں. By making massaging oil in the head, there is one particular aspect which is particularly important, massage of the head. By putting oil and massaging it, the hair increases. آنکھ اور دماغ کو تقویت حاصل ہوتی ہے. Eyes and the brains become stronger by it. پاؤں اور ہاتھ کے تلووں پر مارش کرنے سے بینائی تیز ہوتی ہے. By massaging the bottom of the legs and the palms, by massaging these two things, the bottom of the legs and the palms, the eyesight increases, becomes stronger. مالش کے لیے گائے کا گھی. For massaging, the fat of cows. بادام روغن, the oil of badam. آلمنڈ آئل، روغن زیتون آلو آئل، اور سرسو کا تیل، اینڈ سیسمی سیڈز، دا آئل آف سیسمی سیڈز، خصوصاً کچی گھانی کا تیل مفید ہے. اینڈ اسپیشلی دس ون ادر ٹائپ آف آئل، دس از آل ویری بینیفیشل فار یوزنگ ان میک ان مساجنگ. اینڈ دیر از کوائٹ اے چوائس ہیئر اینڈ اکارڈنگ ٹو دا سیزن اینڈ اکارڈنگ ٹو ایوری پرسنز ٹیمپرمنٹ، whether he's got coldness in his body, whether he's got heat in his body, accordingly he should choose an oil. And the best is to consult with a hakim that which oil he should use. Malish se khushki rafa hoti hai. By massaging, the dryness of the body is removed. Balgham khoon aur garmi mein aitidal paida hota hai. And the phlegm in the body, the blood and the heat in the body, all these things become balanced by massaging. There is a balance that is required in these things for a healthy body. Aur takan dur hoti hai, and tiredness goes away by massaging. Jism khubsurat banta hai, the body becomes beautiful. Aur taqat hasil hoti hai, and a person acquires strength. Sar mein tel ki malish se dimag aur aankhon mein taravat aati hai. By making massaging the head, dimag or ankhon, the brains and the eyes, then it becomes taravat, like wet. In other words, it becomes, it is not dry, opposite of dry, not in the real sense wet, but it becomes like flexible. It's not crispy, that it can just, it doesn't work properly. Binai mein izafa hota hai. Eyesight becomes stronger. Baal bharte hai, hair increases, aur neend achhi tarah aati hai, and a person sleeps well. Many people are complaining of insomnia, but they don't do massaging. By massaging and using the right oil, it helps tremendously for a good sleep as well. Haatho aur talwo ki mali se bhi nigaah tez hoti hai. By massaging the hands and the bottom of the feet, the eyesight increases. Aur kam khabi ki shikayat rifa hoti hai, and the complaint of insomnia is removed. Malish sare jism par karni chahiye. A person should, his whole body should be massaged, though not regularly, at least the head and the feet, and then from time to time the whole body, but not in any haram way. Don't go to a lady, for example, a man goes to a lady, for that is totally haram, of course. And even if it is a man, the satr, that part for him to touch it with his bare hand is not permissible. This can be done, the wife can make malish for the husband for his wife, and from time to time this should be done. This is very healthy. Khususan, especially these places should be, malish should be made, massage. Sar, the head. Naaf, the navel. Haato or paav ke talwo, the palms of the hands and the bottom of the feet. Par tel ki malish, the massaging with oil. Naak aur kaan mein tel dalna behad mufeed hai. To put oil in the nose and the ear is also very beneficial. Albatta, however, bukhar, khansi, dama aur qai ke marizon ko malish ki mumaniyat hai. People who are suffering from these problems, that is fever, cough, asthma and vomiting, for them massaging is prohibited. It's not good for them. It won't be good for people who suffer from these things, who have got all the time a fever, or when you have a fever, at the time when you are coughing, asthma patients, and when you are vomiting. Malish ke fauran baad ghusl na karna chahiye. And after massaging, then a person should not immediately go and take a bath. When we were studying in Deoband, we saw many of the local students, especially those from Assam and Bengal, that when they should go and bath, they should first massage their whole body with oil, and then after about an hour, go and take the bath. This is very, very healthy, that you massage your whole body and then you bath after that. کم از کم ایک گھنٹے کا وقفہ ضرور ہونا چاہیے. There should be at least a lapse of 1 hour between the massaging and between the taking a bath. So massaging is very healthy, and if we can't do more, then at least the head and the feet, that a person should try and do, and do it regularly. And that a person can do himself also, and it is extremely essential, and it is sunnat also. Oil in the head, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so particular about it that he had another extra topi known, which was called a qina. That is the oil topi. Because when you put oil in your head, then the oil, it will the marks of it comes in your topi. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very neat and tidy. So his normal topi, he used to keep it clean, and he kept another topi so that the oil marks don't come into this topi. But massaging is extremely beneficial, and it is sunnat also.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. These are the ash'ar of our Dala Shaykh, the Shah Akim Akhtar Sabda wa Barakatuhum. So only through the barakat of our Hazrat wa Barakatuhum is going to guide when Allah is rendering it. ہر لمحہ حیات سلطان جا کے ساتھ گزری ہے جو حیات بھی گزری ہے جو حیات بھی عشق بتا کے ساتھ گزری ہے جو حیات بھی عشق بتا کے ساتھ گزرا ہے اس کا ہر نفس آلہ میں جا کے ساتھ گزرا ہے اس کا ہر نفس آلہ میں جا کے ساتھ عشاق حق جہاں بھی ہے عشاق حق جہاں بھی ہے آو فغاں کے ساتھ عشاق حق جہاں بھی ہے آو فغاں کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں مس لذتے دونوں جہاں کے ساتھ رہتے ہیں مس لذتے دونوں جہاں کے ساتھ رہتا نہیں جو دوستوں رہتا نہیں جو دوستوں رب جہاں کے ساتھ رہتا نہیں جو دوستوں رب جہاں کے ساتھ کیا فائدہ جو رہتا ہے سارے جہاں کے ساتھ کیا فائدہ جو رہتا ہے سارے جہاں کے ساتھ حاصل جسے ہے تیری معیت ہر ایک نفس حاصل جسے ہے تیری معیت ہر ایک نفس صحرا میں بھی رہ کر کے ہے وہ بوستا کے ساتھ صحرا میں بھی رہ کر کے ہے وہ بوستا کے ساتھ نسبت عطا ہوئی جسے مرشد کے فیض سے نسبت عطا ہوئی جسے مرشد کے فیض سے ہر لمحہ حیات ہے سلطان جا کے ساتھ ہر لمحہ حیات ہے سلطان جا کے ساتھ طائر نہیں جو واقف آداب گلستا طائر نہیں جو واقف آداب گلستا ممکن نہیں گزر ہو کسی باغ با کے ساتھ ممکن نہیں گزر ہو کسی باغ با کے ساتھ اختر میرے مرشد کا ذرا فیض تو دیکھو اختر میرے مرشد کا ذرا فیض تو دیکھو کس طرح درد دل کیا میرے بیان کے ساتھ
کس طرح درد دل کیا میرے بیان کے ساتھ، گزری ہے جو حیات بھی عشق بتا کے ساتھ، گزرا ہے اس کا ہر نفس آلہ میں جا کے ساتھ۔
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم۔ This very beautiful poem and so much of lessons for us to learn. ہر لمحہ حیات ہے سلطان جان کے ساتھ۔ This is what a person should acquire, that every breath of his passes with Allah Ta'ala. We should ask ourselves, we are hearing this, we enjoy the poem, but even when we are hearing it, do we think of Allah? Are we connected with Allah? Or is it just the entertainment of just the poem? At least when now the poem is being read and the benefits of being connected with Allah being mentioned, are we aware that I'm with Allah, Allah is watching me? That connection with Allah should come into us. Guzri hai jo hayat bhi ishq-e-buta ke saath. All my life, whichever part of my life has been passed with love of anything else besides Allah Ta'ala, whether it is haram, love of other women, whether it is the love of my house, my shop, my car, whatever else it is, whatever part of my life has passed without the love of Allah Ta'ala, guzra hai uska har nafas alam jahan ke saath. Every breath of that time has passed with the pain of the world. And we see that the people who have got so much of dunya, but in spite of that, they are the ones who commit more suicide. They are the ones who are more psychiatric cases. So the things of this dunya, it's a dhoka, an open deception, that it gives you comfort and peace. The more the people who have got the things of the, even those without iman, and they don't have dunya's things, they're also living in peace. People living in the villages, in the farms, even without iman. But those who have more of dunya, even Muslims, people of iman, but so much of dunya, then from time to time you hear committing of suicide, etc. They get no sleep at night. They are having problems all the time. So the things of this dunya is an open deception. And the more you see a person that has got dunya, many, when we don't have a proper understanding, raal tapakti hai. We also, if I also could have a house like this, a car like this, but just spend a little time and you'll make shukr that you are not one amongst those. That the bare Allah just gave you what was sufficient enough for you, and how comfortably your life is going. See these people and you just analyze a little bit and you'll get a shock of your life. Like for example, that person who wanted to live a life in such a way that every moment he must be happy. Not a single moment of his life he must be sad. So he wanted this, and it was known that Khadir alayhi salam, Khizar that we commonly call, that he is mustajabud da'awat, his du'as are readily accepted. So one day he met Khadir alayhi salam, he told him, make this du'a for me. So he told him, that is impossible in this world. Yeah, in this world, ups and downs come to everyone. In Jannat you'll get that life where you'll just be in enjoyment and pleasure all the time. However, this dua I can make for you, who you think that you would like to be, who lives a wonderful life, that I can make dua that Allah must make you like that person. And he gave him a time and a place where they will meet again. He must go and look for such a person. Then Khadir alayhi salam will make that dua for him. So he went, he looked. Then he came across many people. One person was very busy in his shop. He thought this person is very well off. He's got everything. When he asked him, he told him, I've got everything. But, for example, my son is of age. He's getting married. I'm just worried that I must get a shop for my son. So he saw he's not a happy person. He hasn't got everything what he wants. He went to another person, saw him in his office, all types of gadgets and aircon and sitting comfort. This person has got everything. When he asked him, he said, I'm getting my pay, it's very good for me, but every month I'm just short for so much. I've got it. So he said, oh, he's also not a happy. Went to many people. Finally, he went to a person who was living in a beautiful, huge mansion, a palace, rivers of water flowing there, and food, and a garden, and whatever you can think of. So he saw this person is really very happy. I don't even have to ask him. But just for safety's sake, he said, let me just make sure. When he asked him, he said that, just go away from here. What are you asking me? Why are you asking me? So he told that I want to become like you. He said, in that case, let me tell you my story, that what my condition is. Outwardly, you can see all this, but inwardly, I wouldn't wish my worst enemy to be like this also. So he asked, what is your story? He said that at one time, my wife had become very, very ill. She was on the verge of death, and we loved one another very much, and we had always made a promise to one another, whoever passes away first, the other one will not marry again. So my wife reminded me of that promise. I promised her, and at those emotional moments when she's passing away, he said there was no, he gave her full assurance. But she said, I'll only be satisfied and convinced if you castrate yourself. So he agreed to that also, because it was such an emotional time. They loved one another also. And after that, Allah Shan, she started regaining her health. And she became much better than before. More strength, and her desire also increased. And he said, you see all these children playing here? I know myself. It's not my children, it's my workers' children. So I'm living in Jahannam all the time here. So what you want to become like me? Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali also has written, all Buzurgs have written practically. You see, so don't look at the outward glitter and glamour of a person's life. Where there is more of that, you can be almost sure inside there is great sorrow. That person is going through great difficulty. So whenever, this is even what halal and jais things normally, that we have seen so much. In many cases, the wife is almost a mental case. They've got everything, but her brains, she's not functioning properly. They've got retarded children. They've got such terrible fights in the town, in the family. Though outwardly it looks so nice, a person should never be bluffed with that. And this is what, as I said, what jais and halal things. What haram things, then what to say about that? And the haram, where as long as a person, his eyes are closed, he doesn't realize what he's doing. He might think he's enjoying, but very soon his eyes open and he realizes. And the chickens have to come back to roost again. And when they come back, then he realizes his problems. And that person in this world is like living a life in Jahannam. So all this haram, whether it is living a life with other woman or with other haram, whatever it is, that is guzra hai uska har nafas alam jaan ke saath. Every moment of his life has been spent in the sorrows of this world. Ushaq haq jahan bhi hai aao fugha ke saath. And the lovers of Allah Ta'ala, on the other hand, wherever they may be, whether they are in gardens, whether they are in the masjid with air cons and with carpets, whether they are in the jungles, but they have got the love of Allah, and with aahu fugha, crying and making dua, making zikr, and making muraqabah of all the right things, etc. Rehte hai mast, lazzate do jahan ke saath. They are living mast, they are living overtaken with the enjoyment of the two worlds. They are in a trance in the enjoyment of the two worlds. Rehta nahi jo dosto rabbe jahan ke saath. That person who doesn't stay with Allah Ta'ala, who hasn't got the thoughts and connection of Allah, kya faida jo rehta hai sare jahan ke saath. What is the benefit that he's living with all the things and the people of the world? Big, big parties, bright lights, loud music, whatever, all those things of this dunya, but he hasn't got Allah in his heart, he has got nothing. And if you got nothing of this world, you are in a jungle, you are in a desert, but you have got Allah, you have got everything. Hasil jisse hai teri ma'iyat har ek nafas. That person who has got connection with Allah every moment, as he's walking, as he's lying down in bed, or as he's talking, whatever, that ya Allah, you are watching me. You, as you go in ruku, Ya Allah, it's your command, I must make ruku. You go in sajda, it's your command. We in sajda, O Allah, so to say, my head is at your feet, as at your threshold. Allah, na'uzu billah, hasn't got feet. I've surrendered myself. A person who has that in every aspect, even in his du'as, a person who is connected with Allah. Sometimes we are crying, but even in our crying, we're not connected with Allah. The thing is to be connected, to have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. So those people, sehra mein bhi rehkar, ke hai wo bosta ke saath. Though they are in the deserts, they are in the creator of gardens. They are with the creator of gardens. They are with Allah Ta'ala all the time. Nisbat ata hui jis murshid, jisse murshid ke fayz se. A person who has got nisbat, very fortunate is that person who has got this connection. We come to the house of Allah, but we're not with Allah. And then we engaged in direct talk with Allah with our namaz. We are given those few minutes by Allah to now speak to me directly, but yet we're not with Allah Ta'ala. And those people who wherever, while they're eating, while they're talking to their family, they are with Allah Ta'ala all the time. So that person who has got that nisbat ata hui jisse murshid ke faiz se, and that comes by the barakat and the faiz of the shaykh. Har lamha hayat hai sultan e jaa ke saath. Every moment of their lives, they are with the king of the world. They are with Allah Ta'ala all the time. And Allah, who is the controller of the world, Allah Ta'ala, who is the creator and the controller and the owner of happiness. When you are with Allah, what are you going to be short of in any way? Ta'ir nahi jo waqif adab gulista. That person cannot fly and cannot go further and progress, who doesn't know the etiquette of the garden. That is, when he comes to his sheikh's majlis, a person who is not aware of the etiquette there, and he shows disrespect in whichever way it can be. Mumkin nahi guzar ho kisi baagbaan ke saath. It's not possible that person will reach Allah with anyone whatsoever. If you show disrespect in whichever way by your sheikh, you will be deprived very greatly. Therefore, it is very essential that the respects of the khanqa, of the majlis, etc., of the sheikh, they must be adhered to. It is very important. The sheikh is also a human being. He also has got sentiments and feelings. If you have to hurt his feelings, but Allah makes a genuine sheikh, his heart is very big. He tolerates also very much. But in spite of that, still, a person who must be very considerate. And the more happy a person makes his sheikh, the more the affairs of Allah comes to that person. Akhtar, mere murshid ka zara face to dekho. Hadrat says, see, I'm experiencing myself, the face of my sheikh and my murshid. Kis tarah darde dil kya mere bayan ke saath. By his barakat today in my bayan, that I find so much the love of Allah when I make bayan. It's not a dry bayan. This is one great difference which our Shaykh the Ahmad Barakatum explains of the bayans of those ulama who study kitabs, make their notes, find their points, and set their bayan very beautifully. They will deliver a very, very eloquent bayan, but it will be without the love of Allah, without feeling. And a person who makes his bayan with the love of Allah, with concern and feeling, there is a world of difference between those two bayans. So this is all by the barakat of the sheikh. And to get the barakat of the sheikh, a person must fulfill the correct adab and the respects of the majalis of the sheikh, etc. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and the proper understanding of that. Further, with regard to the same aspect, that how to benefit from one's sheikh, the adab and the etiquette of piri muridi. Ye also another very important point Hazrat refers to. Farmaya ke aaj kal ek maraz ye bhi hai ke murid hone ke liye log ko apne buzurg ke paas laate hai. One other disease and weakness which is prevalent today, Hazrat writes, that people bring other people to their sheikh to become murid. In other words, we like force a person. We don't wait for that person to have the desire himself. Many of us are such, many murids, that we tell others, go, come, become murid. You also come to Shaykh, you also become murid, etc. Hazrat regards this as a disease and a wrong thing. He explains it. Or sifarish karte hai. And then they intercede by the Shaykh. Hazrat, this is my friend, I brought him, make him murid. Some will even go to the extent, he is not interested, I encouraged him, I convinced him, etc. Usse tu mujhe aise cheer hai, ke zara bhi maalum ho jave, ke kisi ka laya hua hai, to usse tu murid karta hi nahi. Hazrat says, I hate and dislike this so much, that somebody who hasn't come of his own initiative, of his own free will, he has been coaxed, he has been encouraged, or perhaps even forced by somebody. And he has been, if I find out, Hazrat says, a little bit that this person hasn't come of his own free will and his own eagerness, I don't make that person murid at all. Taki wo in targhib dene walo ko ghaliya de. So that that person then becomes very angry on that person who brought him. That person who brought him said, come, I take you, I make you also murid. And worse it is when that person tells him, you got financial problems, you got marital problems, come become murid. And I will go and intercede for you, all your problems will be removed. Hazrat says, if I get little wind of this, I don't make such a person murid. And so that he can go and swear that person, become angry on that person, you told me you'll make me murid, now your Shaykh refused me, and he didn't even make me murid. And why Hazrat does that, he says? Or phir unhe sifarish karne ka hausla na rahe. So that in future they don't again do that same mistake again. That person becomes so angry on them, that in future they don't have that courage to again and tell somebody go and become murid. Hazrat explains this, janab talab wo cheez hai ki uske hote huye kisi ki sifarish ki zarurat hi nahi. The main thing is that talab, that desire which comes from a person himself. If that is there, then no sifarish intercession is required, that somebody must intercede for you and tell, please make him murid, etc. Dusre ye baat hai ki jo sifarish ka zariye se bayat hona chahta hai to uska iham hota hai go ye niyat na ho. And when a person becomes murid by somebody else's intercession, he doesn't come, well, he doesn't come walking on his own legs. He is brought by somebody, he is carried by somebody. He is like an invalid, not physically, but like he is an invalid. He hasn't got that desire, he is brought and carried by somebody. The Hazrat says that that person hasn't got niyaz mandi, humbleness in him. He hasn't got talab in him. What is he going to benefit from becoming bad? He's not going to benefit at all. That person really today, mashayikh make everyone murid. It's a very weak zamana and whatever little benefit. But the real benefit and the real piri muridi is when a person has got that desire himself, I want to make my islah, I want to remove all my spiritual bimaris, my maladies. I want the love of Allah. When the desire is within himself, he comes, that person benefits very quickly and benefits very greatly. But a person who is forced and brought, that person got no desire. He comes unwillingly to the majlis. He sits here also with a don't care attitude. He has got no interest. He has been forced and brought. What benefit is he going to get? A person who has got that desire, that person benefits. Lekin iski surat uski hoti hai ki usko niyaz mandi se aar hai. And though he hasn't got that intention, but the outward form is that his outward form shows that he doesn't like this tasawwuf also. He doesn't like, he has been like forced to come. He has been brought by somebody and he himself hasn't got that desire. That person can't benefit. A person who comes willingly on his own, walking on his own legs, meaning he's got that desire, the intention, I want to make my islah, I want to remove my spiritual diseases, I want to make my akhirat, I want to please Allah, I want the love of Allah, that person really benefits, and he benefits very quickly and very greatly also. فرمایا کہ جب تک طریق کی حقیقت نہ معلوم ہو جاوے تب تک تو صحبت شیخ ضروری ہے. Hazrat said, until a person doesn't understand how to walk on this path. Till that time, you should attend the Shaykh's Majlis very regularly and with proper, you should attend it regularly. جب اس کی حقیقت معلوم ہو گئی اور طریق سے مناسبت پیدا ہو گئی, when he has come now to know the reality, what is this tasawwuf, the reality of it, not just an idea of it, and also he has got munasabat with this path now, پھر صحبت ضروری نہیں. Go nafi' hai. Then now sohbat is not necessary, though it will definitely be still very beneficial. And the source from where you got your what you got, don't ever give up that the etiquette and the adab of that source also. But later it is not so necessary now. Now you have to move on the path. You have asked somebody directions. When they showed you the directions properly and you have understood it properly, now it's not necessary to keep on asking directions. Now walk your road and reach your destination. So to come to the Shaykh, it is necessary up to that time, properly and with great regularity, until we become munasib with this tariq and we find our way. When we find our way, if we don't come always also, it won't be harmful for a person. But the muhabbat, etc., and a person increases all the time. So for that reason, to come regularly, a person will benefit all the time. We can see that how mu'attadil and how balanced Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi's tasawwuf is. That he says that, like a student who has finished his Bukhari Sharif, now it doesn't mean you must still stay in the madrasa whole life. Now go and do your work. Go wherever, now go to your place and go and do your work there. You became a hafiz, now you know your door, everything. Now don't still just stay by your ustad. Go make tarawih now. Go to different places. Go and make other students hafiz now. The work must carry on. Not just that, just a customary and a rasmi thing, but the reality of it was by Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. فرمایا کہ کام میں لگنا چاہیے. Hazrat said that a person should engage himself in the actual work, what is required. یہ دیکھنے کی ضرورت نہیں کہ کیفیات بھی ہے یا نہیں. This is not necessary that we have conditions. Many people, as long as we enjoy our zikr, etc., then we carry on making zikr. But when that enjoyment, the enjoyment is a condition. The work is to make zikr. To understand this, a very simple example, if we are walking on a road, we are traveling on a road, and there are beautiful lights on the side, there are streams of water flowing also, there are beautiful flowers also, the road also is very good quality road, your car also is very good, you enjoy that journey of yours. But your object, if it were, you just out on a joy ride, then you are just driving for the fun of it. But if your object is you have to reach a certain place, you have to reach there, and you have to reach by a certain time. Now all these conditions are there, very good, you enjoy your journey. But if the conditions are not there, there are no there's no more tar road, they are working on the road, you gone on a detour, it's a gravel road, and there are no lights there, there is no streams, no flowers, but your object is to reach your destination, keep on traveling. A person who was traveling for conditions, that now those conditions are not there, he stops. And usually, a salik, a person who becomes bad, a genuine person, when he's shown his zikr, and he makes his zikr, he gets great enjoyment. This is normally the system of Allah Ta'ala. But then Allah tests him, and Allah takes away the enjoyment of zikr. And most of the saliks at that time, leave the zikr also. So from there you realize they were not making zikr for Allah, they were making zikr for that enjoyment. That nafs that was enjoying that condition, they were making zikr for that. Which our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, be Abdul Lutf, not Abdul Latif, not Abdul Lutf. Latif is one of the names of Allah. Be the slaves of Allah, make your zikr, your ibadat, your namazes, whether you enjoy your namazes or not, whether you enjoying your zikr or not. Whatever it is, but you do what you are supposed to do. Don't do it for the enjoyment. That namazes, as long as you get enjoyment, your tilawat, many people, many murids, complaints come of this nature, that we're not enjoying now, and now we have given up everything. We have taken a dip again. We are gone down again. This is all because they were doing it for the conditions, not for the object, not for Allah's sake. If you do it for Allah's sake, whether you get enjoyment or you don't get enjoyment, you will carry on. Huzuz wal azaiz bhi hai ya nahi. They don't worry whether all these enjoyments are there, all these things. If they are there, alhamdulillah, it's more comfortable, more easy. But if it's not there, then too you carry on. Aur na ye dekhne ki zarurat hai ke kuch hua ya nahi. And this also, Hazrat explains that a murid mustn't worry about this. Am I benefiting or not? Am I progressing or not? That also he mustn't worry about that. He must do his work, what he's supposed to do. Many of us, we want to see results and we want to see them before time also. Before we have hardly really done anything, we want to see results already. No, when we don't do our work, what we are supposed to do. Usko ek misal se samajhiye. Hazrat gives one example, ke jaise raat ko pansari aata pisti hai. Like at night, in those days where the grocer had to do all his work, grind the flour so that he can sell in the morning. Today, it's a complete separate business and an industry of its own. Today, the grocer just orders the flour. But previously, they had to do everything themselves. The whole night, he had to grind his flour so that he had flour to sell in the day. So now he's grinding his flour. Magar is pisne wali ko ye malum nahi hota ke aata chakki se gir raha hai ya nahi. And that mal by in which they are grinding the flour, it is made in such a way that the person who is grinding the flour doesn't know whether the flour is falling at the bottom or not. They are only grinding it from the top. That is all what they are doing. Aur na ye khabar hoti hai ke kis qadar jama ho gaya. And neither do they know that how much flour has been gathered at the bottom, where it's all falling and gathering. They don't know whether it's falling, how much is falling. Peesne hi ki dhun lagi rehti hai. That person who is employed to do this work, his work is to grind the flour. The top part of that primitive mal, to turn it all the time, put more flour seeds, the grains, put them more and grind it all the time. That person has to do that work all the time and he's getting paid for that. So his mind is just to do that all the time. Subah ko jab dekhti hai to maalum hota hai ki tamam chakki ke gird aata jama hai. But in the morning now, whole night they have to work during the night. Morning they see the bottom where they're collecting, it's full. It's full of flour. Agar raat bhar ye karti ke ek chakkar chikki ka ghuma kar aate ko tatola karti, to paav bhar bhi aata na pis sakti. However, if she was turning that person, usually employment was for a female, that she's turning that mal, and every time she turns it one round, and then she stops, she goes and check, is there some flour now? In the morning there wouldn't be even a quarter pound of a flour, not even a quarter kilo of flour she will find in the morning. But the whole night she just carries on doing her work, in the morning she sees it's full with flour. So in the same way, what work we have to be doing, we must just carry on, and then we will get the results, inshallah. But what we are more worried, we don't do, we make 2 days namaz regularly, now we want to see the results, all different types of results. No, carry on doing our work, what we are supposed to do, the results will collect themselves. Alawa uske, apne ko jis support kiya hai, us par baghair aitimad aur inqiyad, wa aitiqad ke kaam nahi chal sakta. The other thing, another aspect of this, that when we became bay'at, and if a person did not have that full trust in the person, he did not feel that this person will be able to guide me to Allah, he hasn't got that aitimad and that aitiqad and that love for his sheikh, jab janne wala ye keh raha ho ke kaam ho raha hai, bas itminan karna chahe. If you haven't got the trust, how are you going to progress? When you have the trust and your sheikh is telling you, you are progressing, you are carrying on, you carry on, you just do what you have to do, then you should trust him. And that is what is bay'at. That who you became bay'at to, you put your hand in his hand. In other words, you put your spiritual life in his life. Now he must mold you, he must guide you. If that basis was there, it wasn't just an outward show of becoming bad, but really that you had the trust in your sheikh, And then, now when he is guiding you, what have you got to worry? The example of this is that you trust somebody and he tells you that you ask him, take me to a certain place. It can be a dangerous area. It can be night, dark. It can be a place which you don't know, you're alien, foreign to that place, first time you go. But you trust that person, no matter how he's taking you, how, where he's taking you, you, in fact, you'll even fall asleep. That you haven't got any worry. And you'll see he takes you out at your place. But if at every moment you want to get off and go and ask somebody, you tell him, please stop your car, I just want to ask this person if you're taking me in the right direction. Then he'll also ask you, you don't climb again in my car. You stay out of my car. But you have got trust in him, and now you put your full trust in him, he'll take you to your place where you are supposed to go. And if that is the trust that you're supposed to have in your sheikh, that he will guide me, he will take me. And then it's not the sheikh, it is Allah who takes a person. The real doer is Allah Ta'ala. The more a person has i'tiqad, the more he has got muhabbat of his sheikh, the more he will trust him, and that person will find Allah will take him to his destination very quickly and very, very, with great effects in his reaching Allah Ta'ala. Allah will take him there. May Allah give us all the true tawfiq of all this, inshallah. In this kitab of Hadrat, where we were reading about the sweetness of iman, when a person gets the sweetness of iman, he has still further, Hazrat is explaining what are the signs and what are the conditions of that person who has found the sweetness of iman. Further, Hazrat Damat Barakatum says, aur is mithas par maulana ne ajeeb istidlal diwan shams tabriz mein pesh kiya hai. And the sweetness, which normally ulama write, it's a meaningful thing. That is, it's a mental thing. You feel satisfied, you feel happy with the sweetness of iman. But some ulama, and this is that part which Hazrat is explaining, that it's not only a mental but a physical thing. You actually feel the sweetness of iman also. That part Hazrat is explaining. Like the previous poem we did, that Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says, Allah, Allah, Iche Shirin Asnam. That, oh Allah, this is the most sweetest name. And when I take your name, it is like milk and honey that is mixed together, sugar and honey. And that wonderful, in summer, you have your milkshake. In winter, you have a nice hot milk drink. How you enjoy that? He says, more than that, I get enjoyment in my body. And this is not a meaningful thing, but it is a physical thing, that enjoyment comes. Further, he says that Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali, in his kitab Shams Tabriz, Diwan Shams Tabriz, he has written another proof of this. E dil e shakar khushtar ya aake shakar saazat. He asks himself and he says, oh heart, is sugar more sweeter, or the creator of sugar? That what does sugar even know what is sweetness? Allah created it. And Allah's qudrat is, Allah can take out the sweetness of the sugar now at this moment. And no sugar in the world will have any sweetness. If Allah wishes, Allah can make it salty, can make it bitter, can make it sour. That same sugar, it's all in the qudrat. And we experience it many times. You put 1-2 teaspoons, what's happening? I'm not getting. You add another 2 teaspoons. They have to ask you, rather put your tea in the sugar bowl. How much sugar are you putting? But you're just not getting that sweetness. If Allah takes out that sweetness, then there will be no sweet. It is all in the hands of Allah. So he says, and the sugar that is so sweet, and we enjoy so many things with sweetness, our chocolates, our milkshake, how many things we enjoy. The creator of the sugar is a billionth of a million, a billionth, billion, billion beggar of the sweetness of Allah. What sweetness it has got is not a billionth of billions of sweetness which is of Allah. And if you get Allah's sweetness, so that sweetness, if it has to come into your heart, you don't own, it's not a meaningful thing, but it's a physical thing. You feel that sweetness in you. E dil, e qamar khushtar, ya ke qamar saazat. Oh my heart, is this 14th full moon, is that more beautiful, or the creator of the moon? the beauty of the 14th full moon, and how many other beautiful things in this world. What rivers and what sunrise and sunset and dams and lakes and waterfalls. All this is not a billionth of the beauty of Allah. If you get Allah, what beauty have you got? If you got Allah, what sugar have you got? Sweetness have you got in your life? In another poem, Maulana Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Ali says, جب میں اللہ پاک کا نام لیتا ہوں تو اتنا لطف محسوس ہوتا ہے جیسے کہ میرے بال بال سے شہد کی نہریں جاری ہو گئے. When I take the name of Allah, then I get so much enjoyment, physical enjoyment, like every hair of my body has become a river of honey. One is the meaningful, and that is general. But there are those ushaq, lovers of Allah, whom Allah has blessed with the physical sweetness of Allah's name and zikr and thought of Allah Ta'ala. Dear, further Hazrat explains, is sadi ke baaz buzurg aise guzre hain ki unhone apna haal bataya ke jab Allah ka naam lete hain to muh waqi meetha ho jata hai. Hazrat says they have so many buzurgs of our century whom Hazrat has met and has known, that when they take the name of Allah, then actually physically their mouth becomes sweet. So these buzurgs, that they never use toothpaste and toothbrush, miswak they use, but when you near them, you get a sweet smell from their mouth. From their body you get a sweet smell. This is all the barakat of the zikr. Not only do they enjoy me and that sweetness, but the body emanates that sweetness to others also. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Maulana Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written, he said, I saw for myself some of my buzurgs that not when they making zikr, somebody else is making zikr, water comes in their mouth. How they enjoy that. Like for example, you get the smell of biryani. You're passing somebody's house, you get the smell of a braai, biryani or something else, whatever is being cooked, and that smell is coming, water comes in your mouth. Like this, when somebody is making zikr, Hazrat writes that they actually get the water coming in their mouth of that enjoyment, how sweet the name of Allah Ta'ala is. مولانا رومی رحمت اللہ علیہ ایک جگہ اور بیان فرماتے ہیں, جب حق تعالی جو محبوب حقیقی ہے ان کی طرف سے قرب کی ہوائیں ہماری روح تک آتی ہیں تو اس لذت کو بیان کرنے کے لیے تمام زبانیں اور لغات محو حیرت ہو جاتے ہیں. He says that حق تعالی جو اللہ, who is the real beloved, the actual one who is to be loved and to who is one's beloved, When the winds of the closeness of Allah comes to a person, when a person gets that in his dua, when he gets it in his sajda, when he gets it in teaching a sabak, when he gets it in making a bayan, sometimes Allah gives some subject like that, and that closeness of Allah, a person feels, it is that wind of closeness which Allah has made to come towards him. When that happens, then the enjoyment of that, to explain that, all the languages of the world together, they are astonished, they haven't got words to explain it. And you tell a person, I don't know how to tell you. If you want to tell, usually that person doesn't speak. When this happens to a person, Allah puts a lock on his tongue. And he doesn't speak to anyone. If he wants to speak about it, he can't speak also. They are the, which our Shaykh Ahmed Barakatum explains, that language, the tongue, the brain, they are all now, They have fallen short. You haven't got words. You say, I don't know how to tell you what I'm experiencing. I don't know how to tell you what I'm experiencing. But that enjoyment these people get. You see, mafhoom ko Hazrat Shah Fazl Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali tahajjud ke waqt jab apne rooh mein is qurb ki bahar ko mehsoos karte to yu tabir farmate the. Maulana Shah Fazl Rahman Ganj Muradabadi Rahmatullah Ali was a senior of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, but was in his time, and he was a buzurg of great stature. He once told Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali that when sajda, not always, sometimes when I get that enjoyment of that sajda, then the enjoyment, I've got no words to explain it. So he explains that it's at tahajjud time, that when Allah Ta'ala, the winds of the love of Allah, when they blow towards that person, then in his words he explained it, kyun baad-e-sabah aaj bahut ashbar hai, that why is the morning wind, the morning wind that is blown, that is called Baad-e-Saba, why is it got so much tears in it? In other words, it's such a wonderful when that wind blows, and it's not a dry wind, and it's a wet wind. It gives a person great enjoyment. And yeah, that wind is blowing and making tears flow from my eyes all the time. Shayad hawa ki rukh pe khuli zulfe yaar hai. Perhaps this wind, it has seen the hair of my beloved. Like your beloved usually, the hair is great beauty. And when your beloved opens her hair, that is great beauty. So it appears that this wind has seen the hair of its beloved. That's why it has got so much of enjoyment. That enjoyment, he says, I'm getting in my tahajjud namaz. I'm getting in my sajdas, that enjoyment. Aur Allah walo ke naam lene ke bahare dur dur tak mehsoos hoti hai. And this is not only that, but Allah wala, when they take the name of Allah and they get this enjoyment, not only this they enjoy, but the wind blows till far away. Many other people, till far, many other towns, far away that wind goes. Which Hazrat explains, yahi wo kaif o masti be khudi hai jisko Hafiz Shirazi farmate hain. Hafiz Shirazi rahmatullah explained this, jab Hafiz be khud aur mast hota hai, when I go into a trance, I'm no more in my control, in the love of Allah and enjoyment of taking the name of Allah, to kaus aur ke ki saltanat ko ek jau ke badle bhi shumar nahi karte. So this great kingdoms of kaus and ke, he says, for one grain of wheat I won't buy that for that, even that. This whole kingdom has got no meaning. All the glitter and glamour, the lights, the buildings, the roads, the whatever of this world, when I get that sweetness of Allah, all these things just fall from my eyes immediately. Agar chupke muhabbat e haq ki main kada ka adna gada hoon, lekin jab unke naam ke lazzat se mast hota hoon, to naas se aasman par aur sitaron par hukm karta hoon. Hazrat explains another poem, that even though I'm just one donkey of the tavern of the khanqa of my sheikh, that is where Allah's zikr, the love of Allah, has been spoken about, and I'm such a small, I'm an insignificant, I'm not an ant, I'm not a mosquito in that gathering, but when I enjoy and I go in a trance taking the name of Allah Ta'ala, I start ruling over the whole world and the earth. My condition becomes that when I get that enjoyment of Allah. So yeah, all Hazrat is explaining that a person should make this effort, that not only meaningful that he gets the enjoyment of Allah, but physically also. And as previously explained, this really can only happen when a person takes out everyone and everything besides Allah from his heart. First of all, haram is to go right out of one. No desire, no love for haram. Then even your halal and jais thing, when your heart is filled only with the love of Allah, that is when a person experiences this. When he has still got love of other things, even halal and jais, then he can't get this here. This he can only get, like the so simple example, if you have got two wives, you don't get the love of either wife in full. Not even half love you get. They unhappy with you. That how could you give your heart to somebody else? So till you haven't given your heart fully to Allah, you don't get Allah's heart, Allah's love again fully also. May Allah give us tawfiq and bless us with these realities.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Yaar rahe ya Rab tu mera, o main tera yaar rahu, mujhko faqat tujh se ho muhabbat, khalq se main bezaar rahu, har dam zikr o fikr mein tere, mast rahu sarshaar rahu, hosh rahe na mujhko kisi ka, tera magar hoshyaar rahu, ab to rahe bas taadme aakhir, wirde zubaan mere ila, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam,
لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم تیرے سوا معبود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مقصود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا موجود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں تیرے سوا مشہود حقیقی کوئی نہیں ہے کوئی نہیں اب تو رہے بس داد میں آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد الرسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم یاد میں تیری سب کو بلا دو کوئی نہ مجھ کو یاد رہے تجھ پر سب گھر بار لٹا دوں خانہ دل آباد رہے سب خوشیوں کو آگ لگا دوں غم سے تیرے دل شاد رہے سب کو نظر سے اپنی گرا دوں تجھ سے فقط فریاد رہے اب تو رہے بس داد میں آخر ورد زبائے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم لا الہ الا اللہ 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 محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم
الحمد للہ رب العالمین والصلاة والسلام علی اشرف الانبیاء والمرسلین سیدنا محمد وعلی آلہ واصحابہ اجمعین ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرین فاعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا انت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرین ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم افتح أقفال قلوبنا بذكرك وأتمم علينا بنعمتك وأسبغ علينا من فضلك واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، الحمد لله رب